Hello, welcome to Bite Size, a special edition of the Brits in the End Zone podcast, where we had a phone chat with Matt Harmon, who, Adley here, I'm not going to lie, I didn't know loads about this guy, but he knows a lot about NFL, and these other three were all very excited. And as I was after we spoke to him, because he's a top guy, we speak to him about reception perception, which is something that you'll find out that he, some stat-based thing that he does with wide receivers. Anyway, listen and learn a lot, because I did. Get that cup of tea in and enjoy.
So, very excited to be introducing Matt Harmon to Brits in the End Zone. Matt, hi, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, guys. It's a really fun time of year right now because, you know, we're seeing, you know, takes be finalized, takes obviously being confirmed by all the Twitter videos that are coming across your timeline from training camp. So it's a fun time of year. And I'm really looking forward to talking to you guys.
Football's finally back.
Football is coming home.
We're feeling yes. Shivers even the other side of the...
So, Matt, you're joining us from LA, that's right?
Correct, yes.
That's awesome. And, I mean, I firstly just wanted to speak to you about sort of your reception perception. Can you just kind of give... I mean, I know in the UK it might not be sort of as big here. So could you give our listeners a kind of... you know, short breakdown of what actually reception perception is and sort of how you came up with it.
Absolutely. So reception perception is a methodology that I developed a few years ago to evaluate the wide receiver position. So what I do is I go in over an 8-game sample size for NFL players and a 6-game sample size for college prospects. I go in and I chart every single route that they run, how often they run each route, how often they get open on each route, and against what type of coverages they're most successful, man, zone, press, double, etc. And also I track some ancillary metrics like breaking tackles after the catch and contested catch conversion rate. And why I thought this was an important methodology to come up with, beyond the selfish reason of needing something to stand out in a crowded field of people that want to be football writers, is that I thought that the wide receiver position not only is becoming so much more in vogue now with just a wealth of talent in the league, especially from that 2014 NFL draft class, it's one of the harder positions for the casual fan to evaluate. And it's not our fault because, you know, on Sundays, during the games and the broadcast, they run off the screen. We don't really see much of what they're doing.
That's true.
And any sort of metric to that evaluates wide receivers is inherently going to welcome in other variables, such as the quarterback, such as the play call, and even whether they got a target or not. So even advanced stats like catch rate or yards per target inherently welcome other variables into the equation. So my goal was to go in and through observational science, just try to understand wide receivers better and isolate them from the outside variables.
Okay. That sounds really cool. I mean, when you mentioned that you do 6 games from rookies when they're at college, do you find that, you know, when those rookies then enter the NFL, that, you know, the work that you're doing translate to NFL games as it does for when they were rookies when they were at college?
So it's tough to say right now because I've only been doing the college work for the last 2 draft classes in full, obviously the one that's entered this year and then this past season. I will say that I do note that from just the work that I'm doing, there's some differences between obviously what college receivers are doing versus what NFL receivers are doing. And the success rates in college are higher. Some guys can even push 80% success rate, which is rare to see at the NFL. Only one receiver's ever done that for me in my database, and that's Odell Beckham, who I've heard might be pretty good.
We've heard of him.
Yeah. Yeah. We met him.
Yeah, he was at him. Yeah.
Well, you guys are really beat. You've got me beat already. the coolness factor. But yeah, so I would say that there is some translation. Obviously, like there's been some guys like Malcolm Mitchell was a player that really shined in reception perception and seemed like he was going to be a third day NFL draft pick. He certainly was. We saw him grab a nice role as a rookie in the Patriots offense, had a pretty decent Super Bowl game. And I think that's the type, those are the type
to
of players
least.
That I'm most,
yeah,
that I'm most looking to try to find are some guys that are maybe overlooked. Michael Thomas was another player that was really good as like, and I think the best thing that reception perception does beyond just saying like, this player's good or this player's bad. It's what type of wide receiver are you? What routes do you succeed most on? Are you more of a timing based player, or are you more of, you know, a contested catch guy that can fit well with a see it throw it quarterback? And Thomas to me looked a lot like a guy like Michael Crabtree in reception perception, who was always a really good player, even back in his San Francisco days, but just needed to fit with the right type of quarterback. And when he went to a more timing based quarterback with Derek Carr, as opposed to the, kind of the opposite of Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco, we saw him revive his career. And Thomas, being a similar type of player, was just such an ideal, easy fit with Drew Brees. So I think if anything, it's really useful for that sort of evaluation.
Was there anyone when you've been, you know, charting, you know, throughout all the off season this year, was there anyone that's kind of really surprised you and that, you know, you're really looking forward to seeing, you know, next year?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always consistently surprised by my own data, which is the fun part of this process. Is I get to, you know, understand a lot more about these wide receivers, because I'm not one of those people that's like, I just trust my eye or I trust my gut. But seeing these numbers play out in a percentage form, one guy that really stood out to me that, you know, he started to have some success last year, but I really came away impressed with was Cameron Meredith, the Bears receiver.
Okay.
And I think he's in a great situation in a wide receiver depth chart that, like,
well, now Alshon Jeffery's gone, so he's kind of you know, the only guy anyone's heard of.
Yeah, Alshon. Well, the funny thing is, like, there's a lot of name players there in terms of Kevin White was a top 10 draft pick, but there was Victor Cruz is there, Kendall Wright, Marcus Wheaton. So it's like a lot of guys that have big names, but Meredith, of all those players, while he might be the least known guy, is the only one who's put up good film in like the last calendar year. There was a report I was reading today that Kevin White even, like, you know, quote unquote, the Bears wide receiver coach says, we've got to tell him how great he is, like remind him, boost up his confidence. And it's like, oh, that's not really what you want to hear.
as a Jags fan, that sounds a lot like what happens with Blake Bortles every offseason, which is, it's not a good thing.
No, you don't want to be in a position to be compared to Blake Bortles.
No, exactly.
But Meredith was a really good player. I tweeted out a few graphs of not only his success rates when he was running routes out of the slot later in the year, but he was even beating outside coverage earlier in the year. His 69.8% success rate versus man coverage tested out the 68th percentile. But it was his 87th percentile success rate versus zone coverage that was really impressive. He's definitely a player who gets separation on a lot of in-breaking routes, but also some more vertical patterns. So I think he could be a really surprise player this year, like a candidate for 120 targets and can easily post a 1,000-yard season in the Bears offense.
So someone to look at drafting later in your fantasy drafts then.
Definitely, I would say so.
So another player that's I know from looking at some of your work that you've been singing his praises is Stephon Diggs. We met him, he was actually over in the UK for a UK NFL Live forum, and we were lucky enough to have a chat with him afterwards.
It sounds like you're just getting your black book out of people you've met.
I read that you said that he also was one of the guys to look out for this year. Is you know, I wonder if you could tell us a bit more about, you know, his stats.
Absolutely. Diggs is a player that, you know, this is a great tool, or this is a great example of why I like using the reception perception tool, because Diggs was a player, like, just straight watching him on like his draft breakdown film when he was coming into the league before I was charting college prospects. He was a player I didn't really like. But then as soon as I started charting his routes and like noting his separation on a route to route basis as an NFL player, he's been somebody I've had a lot of affection for since seeing him as an NFL player. He was above 70% success rate on both man and press coverage. His press coverage score actually jumped from a 40th percentile score in his rookie season to a 72nd percentile score in 2017. Definitely somebody that I think has star potential. He not only creates separation on those short patterns, which the Vikings had him running a lot more last year as their offensive line could not hold in pass protection, but He actually came out above the NFL average on the post, the nine, and the corner routes, which are some of those more deeper vertical patterns. And we saw him absolutely smash the Titans in week one with Sean Hill playing, and then again in week two, that awesome Sam Bradford game against the Packers on Sunday night. So I think that Stephon Diggs is a superstar in the waiting, and he's somebody – like, he's my favorite player to draft in fantasy right now because goes off the board at, like, wide receiver 33 according to Fantasy Football Calculator, and I think he can – of that tier of guys that he goes in along with Willie Snead, Jamison Crowder, Emmanuel Sanders, who I like all of those guys, but he's the one of that group that I feel can, like, vastly outkick his ADP. So he's someone I don't want to – I, like, don't want to leave a draft
with. Well, what I found strange about Diggs is actually he's not I'd expect him to be a burner, as you say, doing those routes, but he's not a big guy. Like, I didn't feel
he
looked like pretty small, pretty like skinny, and
so I wonder how he fares in the more against the more physical, maybe man corners, man coverage corners, man, sorry, corners. Not man corners. That's not a phrase, is it? Is it, Matt?
man coverage corners, that makes sense. I hear you on that, but like I think that he's even said that he's definitely like tried to put on a little bit more muscle this off season because, like you mentioned, he's not a big guy, and I think that might be he's trying to, you know, stay healthy this year. Injuries were a big worry with him last season. He was on and off the field. When he wasn't on the Vikings injury report, I mean, he crushed it statistically in games. So there might be a little bit of something to note there. The thing with Diggs is, yeah, you're right. He's not an uber athlete. He's not the biggest guy, but he's just a great technician. I mean, he's just a really good detailed route runner, somebody that knows how to get off press coverage with technique and foot quickness, despite not being the most rocked up player. So I think that Diggs is a really good player in that sense. And the Vikings also put him in good positions last year to not just consistently run against number one top press corners by moving him into the slot in three wide receiver sets. And I think we will continue to see that with Laquon Treadwell coming along well in training camp to be one of those outside pieces. Right. Yeah. I mean, totally. Well, I mean, he caught one more pass than you and you all you guys and me combined.
So more than my two. Or...
Oh, wow. Never mind. I didn't realize you were putting up stats. Like...
Well, try and chart me. See how I do on the graphs.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Now there's a new assignment. But yeah, I mean, this Vikings offense is actually kind of sneaky to me in general. And Diggs really is the biggest reason why. I think, like I said, I think he has great potential.
Oh, excellent. So, Matt, while you're here, I think I just have to use you for my benefit here from a fantasy perspective. You know, it's as massive here and growing as it is in the US. And I've got a little... I've got a query that I need to resolve it. So I think you had Amari Cooper... you charted him as having a greater than 85% on zonal coverage, right? Is that correct? And the big thing about it is that Michael Crabtree is stealing a lot of those touchdowns. So I want to know, what does a third-year breakout look like for Amari Cooper, and is it happening this year? Do I get him in the second round?
This is such a tough question, and I feel like he's one of these players like my mentor and good friend Sigmund Bloom calls like an inflection point player. Like, you need to have a strong stance on what you think for Amari Cooper, but it's such a tough situation fantasy-wise right now. So this is my theory on why why he's not been a great red zone receiver so far, maybe why the Raiders have preferred to use Michael Crabtree there over him. And again, I want to preface this by saying, again, this is just a theory, but he's never been above the reception perception average and contested catch conversion rate dating back to his final year at Alabama and then his first two seasons in the NFL. So maybe they don't see him as the type of player who can win those physical 50-50 balls in the end zone. Again, totally just a theory, but perhaps that's why. But at the same time, I think this is something, you know, in terms of his red zone usage that could course correct at any time, because other than that, he really profiles as a star NFL receiver. He was average, at least average or above average on all of the routes in reception perception in 2016. The only receiver who actually tested above average on all routes was Willie Snead, who we can touch on later perhaps. But
JP's favorite.
Cooper, I mean, he has star potential. Like I said, he's paired with a good quarterback. He should be a dominant target getter, but you know, his price tag is aggressive in fantasy at wide receiver 10. There is some of that assumption baked in that that he will be more because that's another thing. He's been more of a spike player week to week than someone that you can project reliably week to week. But like I said, he is so good that I think like his red zone usage and more week to week predictability could course correct at any time. So if you believe that this is the year to that's going to happen, then I think you dive in because the potential is there for it to occur.
Can I ask, so it's Adley here, can I ask a slightly less detailed question for you to answer, which I always wonder as being like a London-based NFL fan. What's the perception in the States of the sport growing in the UK and the fact that games are played over here now? Do people in the States like that, or do they kind of think, oh, I wish that they'd stop taking games over there and this is our sport kind of thing?
I've never heard any sentiment that this is our sport.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just the people the crowd that I run with. Maybe that sentiment is out there, but
you're all just too nice.
Yeah, that's not something that's normally. Okay. I've never heard that sentiment, and quite frankly, I know there is certainly an aspect of people eye rolling that the games are so early when they happen out in London.
LA time. That must be
LA time is
7 a.m. Oh, 6 a.m. Yeah.
Well, it's we gotta get into the office by 6 to get the inactives nailed down and everything. And that is that's obnoxious, I guess. But at the same but it was awesome transposing that to waking up on the East Coast. You know, back when I used to live in Virginia, and oh, football's on right away because it's cool. You know, football starts here normal time 10 a.m. And it's that's how you start your day. It's awesome. So I'm a fan of more football. I love it. So the more of it, the better. And the more countries we can get it into, the better. I think it's good for the game. And it's tough to argue that, in my opinion.
Could you ever see the Super Bowl coming over here, Matt?
We want to skip a few years.
No, strictly for monetary reasons, I think.
Yeah.
States and governors and local government here would pitch a fit.
We'll trade you the Champions League final for 1 year.
There you go. Well, hey, we can work that out. Let's get the two governments on the phone.
Exactly. Happy days. Briefly popping back into your reception perception. Obviously, you mainly focus on wide receivers, but obviously, players like Ty Montgomery, who was a wide receiver who's transitioned into becoming a running back, but obviously more of a pass catching running back. Do you follow any running back, pass catching running backs in your data, or you know, to see how well that running backs are at doing that sort of thing?
Yeah, so I get this question a lot. In addition to, do I, have I ever considered charting tight ends as well? And I will answer. Well, the answer is no, and I'll give you two reasons why. One, there's more than enough wide receivers to keep
True.
Me busy.
Fair enough.
I'd like to, have some sort of semblance of a social life.
Yeah. You need to grow the team, Matt.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I need there to be 30 hours in a day, or to really make some progress on this cloning thing that we're
Well, Matt, you need to tell them, why can't you just celebrate what I have done rather than what I'm not looking at? That's what you need to tell these guys.
No, it's good. It's good. That just means there's demand for more, and the people demanding more of you is always a good thing. I'm very appreciative of the interest. But on a more detailed note, I think that I have made mistakes in the past with reception perception data before I really understood what the data meant. And taking back to the beginning of reception perception, I actually posted a really positive article about Cordarrelle Patterson based on his reception perception results, which at the time I thought that those were good numbers, but I had tested and sampled maybe 5 receivers. Now, looking back with context, three plus years worth of data, I can see those are numbers of a future NFL flop.
Yeah.
But didn't understand that at the time. So I'm hesitant to start, start back at square one with new positions and new positional averages, not to mention the way tight ends or pass catching running backs in terms of what type of coverages they face. Are so wildly different. However, speaking specifically to Ty Montgomery, I do also a lot of work with the NFL's Next Gen Stats, the tracking data that we gain from the players' shoulder pads. One of the things that we do is we put out these charts of the routes that they run and the routes that they get targeted on. And I tweeted this chart out back in the middle of the season, actually found it again the other day, comparing Ty Montgomery to Theo Riddick's routes. And I think that those two can be used in a very, very similar fashion. I think Montgomery can be a far better player, but I think at worst, the Packers discovered last year that they can have that type of theoretic outlet receiver, and it really helps their offense. So I think at worst this year, Ty Montgomery can be like a rich man's theoretic type of player.
Okay,
definitely. I mean, Matt, just to kind of wrap up. I mean, if you can give me one name, who's a bit of a surprise player? Who's gonna break into sort of the top 10 wide receivers fantasy wise this year?
I gave a couple answers
just
that
just
I liked.
Stephon
Diggs was one.
Yeah,
that I think could be that guy. But I'll go another name. And that's Dante Moncrief, the Colts wide receiver. He's going off the board right now, wide receiver 31 in the late sixth round, according to Fantasy Football Calculator. I mean, this was a guy last year that myself included and others hyped up to get to the point where he was like a mid fourth round pick, and I think he deserved that because he's a really good player. He's hopefully a healthy Andrew Luck's number two receiver in an offense that should throw the ball a lot. And Moncrief is a legitimately really good player. He's one of the guys that I've tracked throughout his entire career, and he's someone that has progressed each season in terms of his route running ability, not only just his success rate on routes, but also what type of routes he's running. He was like primarily a deep threat guy that ran over 35% of his routes were just straight go routes down the field as a rookie.
Oh, wow.
But since then, he's developed much more of a full field perspective in terms of what routes he's assigned. So I think this could be the year he finally breaks out. And he scored 7 touchdowns in 9 games last year. And if he's going to continue to hold such a valuable red zone role, I mean, he could really explode if things all break right in fantasy this
year. One quick question about Moncrief. Obviously, reception perception is the whole idea to get rid of any external factors. But what, you know, Andrew Luck at the moment isn't throwing. He's not been playing in training camp yet. If, you know, for whatever reason, Luck is injured or anything, do you still think Moncrief would be able to perform at the same level? Or is that, you know, is he obviously still relying, but how much so on the quarterback of Luck's ability?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge factor, the drop off from Luck to, you know, Scott Tolzien or who was the backup last year. It's pretty drastic. I would note that Moncrief did still score a touchdown even with Scott Tolzien at one point, which is, you know, again, that is where he is most used, is definitely inside the 10-yard line, inside the 20s to be that touchdown threat. But it would be a big drop off. And that's what I always tell people, like reception perception and just evaluating talent in general is just one part of the it's just one ingredient to the pie that is fantasy success. You know, you have to also weigh things like the other variables in terms of projecting statistics, you know, not just the quarterback play, but also pace of play, offensive, you know, design, opportunity, etc. So those are all things to keep in mind, not just how good a player is.
Brilliant.
Thanks so much, Matt. One final question before we leave is, if and when you come over to London, can we get Reception Perception as a rap album recorded in London? Because I think that's a great name for an album.
I'm in on it.
Bites Guys will be guest vocalists.
Matt, so where can we find Reception Perception? How do we get hold of it? And, you know, where else can we, you know, read about your work and listen to you?
Of course. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB. And if you want a little more detail on what Reception Perception is before you consider diving all the way in, you can check out the hashtag Reception Perception on Twitter, where there's a ton of charts, graphs, and even moving GIFs now for those that like to see a little movement in their images.
Love a GIF.
Yeah, in terms of tracking route success rate. And if you like what you see, if you're interested in all this, you can go to receptionperception.com. Where there is a link under where my cute little face is on my headshot to purchase the Fantasy Footballers Ultimate Draft Kit, their season preview, where Reception Perception was featured this year. You get access to over 50 NFL wide receivers, 19 college prospects, and metrics on route running from the entire league perspective. It's stuff you can't find anywhere else. So if your listeners are interested in it, that's where you can find it.
I'm a big fan of the Fantasy Footballers.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much, Matt. It's been really awesome speaking with you.
Yeah, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you guys so much for having
me. And Matt, just before you go, I'm in LA in a few weeks. So,
oh, there we go. Well, hey, if you already know Gelhar, definitely hit him up and we can maybe we can get together and do some beers or something.
Definitely. Sounds awesome, man. Thank you very much for your time.
Take care, Matt, mate.
Cheers, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cheers, man. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Do tweet us at Brits_endzone. I think I got that hashtag wrong, or sorry, that Twitter handle wrong at some point. Anyway, it's at Brits_endzone, or email us at BritsEndzone@gmail.com. And that's all we've got time for.
And thanks. BritsEndzone.com for the blog.
Oh, correct. Yeah, that as well. All
nice
of it.
One. Happy days.
Everything.
Peace out.
Bye.